Central family, it has been an incredible experience so far, and we're going to keep that momentum going because we have Pastor Herbert Cooper in the house with us this weekend. Pastor Herbert and his wife, Tiffany, they planted People's Church in Oklahoma City over 20 years ago, and it has grown to be one of the most influential and powerful churches in America. He's an incredible teacher, incredible author, incredible leader. He's a mentor and friend to me. Central family, we're always really good about giving a big, warm welcome to our guests. So give it up big for Pastor Herbert Cooper.
What's up, Central? Everybody doing good? It is so good to be back in the house. I love this place. Hey, are you a little tired after losing an hour of sleep, or do you feel good? Are you feeling good? You look good. You look good. You look good. Oh, I love being here. Love your pastors. And just thinking about Pastor Judd and Lori, we are in Oklahoma. We are one of our new locations. We bought 23 acres and we're building a new facility there. And then our Indianapolis location, we're moving them into a permanent facility. And I share that with you because your pastors are just so instrumental in helping us. And their wisdom, their guidance, their influence in helping us with these projects is just amazing. And I'm grateful for their wise, godly, trusted counsel and leadership. How many know that you've been blessed with some of the best in the world with Pastors Judd and Lori, and honor them and love them so much. And my baby mama couldn't make it on this trip here. She's back home. Our oldest son, he's in college. Matter of fact, there's a picture of my family they'll throw up. My oldest son, he is a sophomore in college. He's the guy in the second to the right next to my wife. And he's a sophomore in college at Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida. And he came home for spring break. And so we had him home all week. And she was like, I'm going to be here the last day before he flies out. So he's flying out today. And not only did he come for spring break, but he brought eight of his friends with him. And our house, not only have we had our four kids, we've had eight college boys in our house. The grocery bill is high and it smells like a football locker room. Get them brothers up out of here. Y'all going back to college. So we are having fun at the Cooper house, but I'm excited to share this message with you today. I really believe it's going to help you. It's going to inspire you. It's going to encourage you. It's going to challenge you. I believe it's going to bring life change to you. And I want to begin today's message by asking you a question. Come on now. I'm an audience participation preacher, so you got to participate. You got to raise your hand on one of these questions. So here's the question. How many of you gas your car tank up, you gas up your tank when you are still three-fourths full? Oh my, three-fourths full, you gas it up. Yeah, these are all your cautious people right here. I'm not even going to get close to running out of gas. How many of you gas your car tank up when it's half full? Like half full, that's when you're like, I got to gas up right now, okay. How many of you wait till you're three-fourths empty to gas your car tank up? Okay, man. Oh, yeah. It keeps growing. Have you noticed? It's just growing. How many of you wait until the gas light comes on to gas it up? Oh, boy. The gas light people win. That's me. Like, I wait till the gas light comes on. That's when I go gas my car up. As a matter of fact, I was driving in Oklahoma City. And there was a road I was on. There was three lanes, and it turns into a highway. And I was on the road, and my gas light came on. But hey, I know my car. I know my gauge. When the gas light comes on, it don't mean gas up. It means I got 50 more miles left. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I got 50 more miles left. I'm good. But that gas gauge was lying to me that day. Something happened. Because my car stopped in the middle of the road. Like I'm serious, y'all. Like I didn't have time to pull over to the side of the road. It just boop, boop, pop, stopped in the middle of a three-lane road. I didn't have a baseball cap to put on. I didn't have any sunglasses to put on. So when I got out the car and stalled in the middle of the road, you know, people going, is that the pastor from People's Church? Pastor! Hi, Pastor! You need any help? No, I'm good. I wasn't planning on it, but I stopped in the middle of the road. And in life, you can go so hard and so fast that emotionally, mentally, physically, if you're not careful, you start running out of gas. In life, you can go so hard and so fast that you're not reading your gauges properly. And you can find yourself stuck in the middle of the road of life. I know this from personal experience. About a decade ago, I was in a bad place emotionally, mentally, physically. I wasn't in a good place. And it was one of those times in my life that I would go home to see my family and I was there, but I really wasn't there. I was present, but I really wasn't present. Anxious and worried and depressed and dealing with low self-esteem. And one day I actually drove myself to the heart hospital, to the emergency room. Thought I was having a heart attack, and EKG machine hooked up to me. They're testing me. They're trying to figure out, nurses, doctors around me. And Mr. Cooper, you're not having a heart attack. You're having a stress attack. You're having a panic attack. And I wasn't planning on it, but I had stopped in the middle of the road of life. And some of you can relate to where I was, because today, some of you, with your emotions, with your mental health, you are not in a good place today. And there's a story in the Bible about a man who wasn't reading his gas gauges properly, and he ran out of gas, and it almost cost him his life. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah called fire down from heaven, and he defeated the prophets of Baal. And then King Ahab heard that Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal, and he told his wife about it. And every once in a while, you'll meet a woman that's as mean as an angry pit bull. And that was Jezebel. Let's read about her in this story in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 1. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. And Elijah was running so hard and so fast, and he found himself in a real bad place emotionally, mentally, physically. He was in such a bad place. He was struggling with suicidal thoughts. He wanted to take his own life. He wanted his life to end. Take my life, Lord. Get me out of here. What do you do when you're in a bad place emotionally and mentally? How can you begin to own your emotional and mental health? How do you keep yourself from running out of gas in the middle of the road of life? Here's what I want to do today. I want to give you 6 habits to owning your health. Come on, would you take some notes today? I know you lost an hour of sleep, but just fake like you into it today, like God's going to help you, okay? So take some notes now. I believe this is going to help you today. Jot this down. The first habit to owning your health is own recognizing the warning signs of being emotionally unhealthy. Recognize the warning signs. And I want you to notice the warning signs that led to Elijah running out of gas. He was working hard. He just defeated the prophets of Baal. He just had this great victory. And then the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 3 that he was afraid. He was dealing with an extreme amount of fear. His emotions, his adrenaline were already super high from this encounter with the prophets of Baal. And now he's facing this encounter with, from Jezebel, and he's running for his life. His emotions are all over the place. He's running and he's running. He hasn't had a break after the prophets of Baal. Now he's still running from a lot from Jezebel, and he's on the run. He just kept going and going. He did not recognize that his gas tank was running low. He just kept running hard and fast. And then he left his servant and he went a day's journey into the wilderness all by himself. He isolated himself, and isolating himself was one of the worst things that Elijah could have done. And then he had admitted, I've had enough. I can't take anymore. I'm overwhelmed. I'm worn out. I'm out of gas. He was ready to die. And the Bible makes it very clear the warning signs that Elijah encountered. And I want you to understand something central to own your emotional and mental health. You have to begin to recognize the warning signs. Warning signs like, are your emotions all over the place? Do you find yourself just always fearful and worried, anxious, just always stressed out, perhaps maybe just always depressed, constant sadness and hopelessness, maybe even dealing with a chemical imbalance in your own body? Warning signs: do you always just have constant mood swings, erratic emotions, frequently crying? Are you always having unhealthy responses to people? You're always angry. You're always agitated with people. You're always lashing out at people. Come on, Central, just lift your hand if you know any angry Christians. You know any angry Christians? Come on. Are you sitting next to him? Just wink at me. Don't raise your hand. Wink at me. You're sitting. Just angry. Just always angry. Maybe you're always tired. You're worn out. You're having difficulty sleeping. Warning signs: are you going at an unsustainable pace? You're ignoring the Sabbath day, not taking off one day a week. Have you isolated yourself? You've pulled away from your family. You've pulled away from your friends. Maybe you have a lack of interest in activities that you used to love, or a lack of focus. You're having difficulty concentrating or giving your full attention to whatever you're working on. Your performance is declining. And I want you to begin to own your health by recognizing the warning signs. You got to be honest when there's warning signs there. Don't lie to yourself. You got to be honest about the warning signs so you can get some help. I went to the doctor recently because I hurt my elbow. I fell down and hurt my elbow, and I'm not going to share this story because I already lost my cool points and I'm not going to lose them again, but I fell down and hurt my elbow, and I went to the doctor. It's been bothering me really bad. When I went to the doctor, you know what the doctor does when you get there? Hey, what's wrong? What are your symptoms? And I did not say, my throat hurts. No, brother, don't need help with his throat. It's my elbow. Because if I would have told him my throat hurts, he would have prescribed a treatment for my throat instead of for my elbow. I was honest about what I was facing. And when it comes to our mental and our emotional health, we've got to be honest about what we're facing. The first key to owning your emotional and mental health, you got to be honest. You got to recognize the warning signs and be honest about where you are. Number two is this. Jot this down. Own evaluating how you got where you are. It's so helpful to read the story of Elijah and to see what led to him running out of gas. And there are times in life we see the warning signs. We know we're running out of gas, but we never evaluate why. We never ask ourselves the question, what's causing me to run out of gas? And so many people are struggling But they just keep doing the same thing. They keep living the same lifestyle until they finally run out of gas in the middle of the road of life. And I want you to recognize the warning signs, and then I want you to ask yourself, how did I get to this place? Why am I running out of gas? What do I need to own and change so that I can get to a healthier place in life? And as you evaluate, some of you are processing even right now. If you aren't sure what's causing you to get to an unhealthy place, I think point three will help you. Here's the third point. Own listening to spiritual guidance. Listening to spiritual guidance. It says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. The angel of the Lord spoke to Elijah on multiple occasions. And I'm not really wanting to focus on the angel speaking to Elijah. What I want you to notice is Elijah didn't listen to his own voice. Because when you're in a bad place, the worst person you can listen to is yourself. Because you don't see things clearly. Your perspective is clouded. Your brain is foggy. You're not in a good place. You're tired. You're struggling emotionally. And you need someone who is spiritually mature to speak into your life. Notice I didn't just say spiritual. They need to be spiritually mature. They need to love God. They need to know the word of God. They need to have proven success in their own life so they can speak into your life. And here's the natural tendency. When you and I are not doing well, most of us respond like Elijah. And we pull away from relationships. We pull away from people. We want to isolate ourselves. But when you're in a bad place, Central, you have to force yourself to get around godly people. You need godly people who can speak the truth to you in love. You need people who can see what you can't see about yourself. You need people who are full of wisdom, people who can give you biblical guidance. One of the best things that some of you can do for your mental, physical, and emotional health is to get in a group at Central. Get the first step. Get on a serve team. Get around some strong Christians who can speak the truth in love to your heart and to your life. And maybe you're like me and you're an introvert. Come on, where are my introverted people at? Come on, you know. You're like, man, this brother's talking about get with people. I'm trying to stay away from people. And I get you. But even us introverted people, we need others. And when you're hurting and you're struggling emotionally, you're struggling mentally, one of the things that will put gas back in your tank is to get around some spiritually mature people who can speak truth and help you in your life. Just look at your neighbor and say, that point was for me, but this next one's for you. Go ahead and tell them that, this one's for you. All right, here we go. Write this down. Number four, you gotta own doing the practical things. On doing the practical things. And here's what I've learned about people is, you know, I love Central and you reach so many people and people who are far from God. And I love this place and it's okay not to be okay. I love this place. And so you have different groups of people in different places spiritually. And then you got people that are all the way over here spiritually. And sometimes people can get so spiritual, I call them oversaved. Anybody know anybody oversaved? Just a little oversaved, you know? In the Bible Belt, we got some oversaved people, you know? Like they're struggling emotionally, they're struggling mentally, and then they just get too spiritual. Like they're in a real bad place, and they start saying, I'm binding the devil. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus. I'm anointing myself with oil. I'm lifting my hands in praise to God. I'm speaking the name of Jesus. I'm singing Central Live worship songs. I'm singing hymns like Amazing Grace. I'm quoting Bible verses like I'm more than a conqueror. And God says, that's all good, but go take a nap. Yeah, you don't need a Bible verse, you need a nap. I want you to see what God told Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 5. He says, then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. Notice he didn't say, get up and pray. He said, boy, you need something to eat. Get up and eat. He looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of flour. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and pray all night long. No. He said, Bubba, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. Here's what I want you to understand. Practical things helped Elijah when he was in a bad place emotionally and mentally. He listened to the voice of the angel. He rested. He slept. He ate. Sometimes the most practical things can help you the most. They can put gas back in your tank. Some of you, what you need is some rest. You need to take off a day every week. You need to take a nap. Matter of fact, some of you after church today, you need to go home and take a nap. Matter of fact, some of your family's praying that you will take a nap. You are so crabby. And they just, please go to bed, please. It's the practical things. Some of you need to start sleeping, go to bed earlier. Quit staying up half the night watching Netflix and playing video games and scrolling social media. Go to bed. Well, Pastor, I'm struggling sleeping. Well, you got to figure out why you're struggling to sleep well, because it's impacting your mental and emotional health. Some of you have to start eating a good meal. You can't have French fries every meal. Come on, sometimes you got to have a good steak. Come on, somebody. Got to have some ribs. Yes, Lord. Got to have some chitlins and some neck bones and some collard greens and some yam. I'm about to preach today at Central. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Google it. Google chitlins. Glory to God. Got to get something good to eat. For some of you, you need to cut out the fried food. You need to cut out some sugar. You need to eat healthier. You need to start exercising. Maybe go on a walk around your neighborhood every day. Maybe start going to the gym. You have to stop isolating yourself and get in a group on the practical things. Hey, Central, the practical things will help you more than you realize when you're not in a good place emotionally and mentally. Number five is this. On pursuing the presence of God. In 1 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 9, the story goes on to say, there he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And that wasn't the truth. He wasn't the only one left. But you don't think clearly when you're not in a good place emotionally and mentally. Verse 11 says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. If you have a paper Bible, just circle presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah owned getting into the presence of God. And what is so encouraging to me about this story is that it did not take some massive move of God for the Lord to work in Elijah's life. God was not in the wind. He was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. God spoke to Elijah at his worst point in life in a still, small voice. And when we're not in a good place in life, sometimes we can think it's going to take this massive move of God to get us out of our bad situation. I mean, God, it's not good. Oh, Lord, help me. Jesus. My kids are about to kill me, Lord. Help me. You got to show up, Lord. Do something, earthquake. But God can help your emotions, your mind, your body with just a whisper. Hey, Central, it's the small spiritual disciplines of owning the small things to get in the presence of God so that you can hear the whispers of God that will so change and impact your soul. That's why every single day you got to pray and read your Bible. Even if it's just for 5 minutes every day, pray, read your Bible, pray, read your Bible, pray, read your Bible, because it's that daily discipline where you can begin to hear the whispers of God that will put gas back in your tank. That's why you got to come to church weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend. There's something powerful about being in this corporate environment, worshiping Jesus with other people, hearing the preaching of God's word and the teaching of scripture week after week. You say, Pastor, that's just a small thing. You don't understand the depression. You don't understand what I'm going through, but I'm telling you, just week after week after week, if you will just stay faithful, the whispers of God, God will speak to you in the service. God will speak to your heart right where you are. Can I tell you, it's the small spiritual disciplines that will help you hear the whispers of God and that will put gas back in your tank. Number six. Own pursuing God's purpose for your life. After Elijah rested, he ate, he heard the voice of the angel, he got in the presence of God, and then God told him to get back to his purpose, to get back to living out the very reason that God put him on the earth. And Central, living out God's purpose will help you get some emotional and mental health. There is just something powerful that happens in us when we're living out our purpose, because God created us on purpose and for a purpose. And I want you to see this with Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 15. It says, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came. I love this. Elijah, you've been under this tree. You've been struggling. You've been wanting your life to end. Elijah, you still have purpose. Go back the way you came. Go back to your purpose and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Elijah had to get back to his purpose. God said, I want you to go back to your purpose, the way you came, and I want you to anoint these kings. And then I want you to get Elisha and to spend the rest of your life mentoring Elisha to take your place as the next prophet. And Elijah got back to his purpose. And there's something that happens inside of us when we're living out our God-given purpose. I know this in my own life. There's something that happens in me when I'm living out my purpose. Matter of fact, when I go on vacation from time to time, not all the time, but from time to time, I'll go on vacation. And like after a week or so, I'll just feel a little depressed. I just feel a little down, and we all need to rest. It's important for all of us to rejuvenate. And I just, there's something sometimes that happens to me when I'm away from my purpose, and then I get back, and I'm preaching again, and I'm discipling people again, and I'm helping people, I'm developing people again, and there's something that comes alive inside of me when I'm living out my God-given purpose. It puts gas in my tank, and I'm telling you, it's the same for you. God created you on purpose and for purpose. He created you to build the kingdom of God. He created you to make disciples. He created you to serve others and to show and to share the love of Jesus Christ. He created you on purpose for a purpose. One of the best things that some of you can do when you're not in a good place right now is to get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on others, to get back to your purpose and get on the serve team at Central and say, you know what, I'm going to spend my time investing my life in kids and teach kids the word of God. I'm going to invest my life into teenagers, and I'm going to help them know God and live for God and avoid some of the traps and the pits that I fell into. I'm going to help some students not to fall into those traps. I'm going to serve out in the parking lot. I'm going to give my smile and my wave and help park a car. I'm going to be a greeter. I'm going to be an usher. I'm going to help make a difference and to build the kingdom of God, I'm going to get my eyes off myself and my eyes on others. I'm telling you, it'll put gas back in your tank when you begin to realize that there's a hurting people, there's broken people who don't have the hope of Christ. And you realize that found people find people. Rescued people rescue people. And this Easter season, can I tell you, for some of you, it will put gas in your tank when you get your eyes off yourself and you see that coworker who doesn't have the hope of Christ. You see that student that doesn't have the hope of Christ. You see your family member that does not have the hope of Christ. And you realize God rescued me so that I can help rescue others. And you invite them to Easter at Central. You say, I got to get them here. I got a seat saved for you. And they come to church and they give their life to Jesus Christ. Something will happen on Sunday. Inside of you when you're living out your God-given purpose. When I was in high school, I was in a bad place. I didn't know Jesus. I was living wild. I was addicted to pornography, sex, lying. I was just out there. An athlete, my parents got a divorce. I was dealing with trauma from being sexually abused at the age of 13, never shared it with my parents, and I was hurting, I was bitter, I was angry. And I remember my football coach. Married, he had kids, he had life, but can I tell you, he realized that God created him on purpose and for purpose. Because he didn't just teach me how to catch the football. He didn't just teach me how to run the ball. He didn't just teach me how to tackle. He kept talking to me on the football field at practice. And one day he invited me on a Thursday night. He said, hey, Herbert, would you come to this Fellowship of Christian Athletes gathering tonight? And I decided to go. But I didn't really go because of him. I didn't go because I wanted to hear about Jesus. I didn't go because I wanted to be around Christians. I went because they were serving free pizza. Come on, somebody. Hey. Hey, that's why I love outreach. That's why I love this church. You have kids' carnivals and outreach. You're always doing things here to help the community to come because I came to church and to Jesus through outreach. And that night, because my coach invited me, I came and sat in a football locker room. And that night, with tears streaming down my face, a 17-year-old broken, abused, hurting young man gave his life to Jesus Christ. And my life has never been the same because of one football coach who said, life is not all about me. I'm going to help teenagers know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And some of you will get gas in your tank when you get your eyes off yourself and you get your eyes on others and how you can make a difference in their life, because rescued people rescue people. Father, I praise you. I give you praise for what you're doing in this place. I thank you that you're helping people with their emotional health, their mental health. I thank you right now, God, for strength. People are hurting and people are tired and they're weary. And God, I pray that you put gas back in their tank today. I pray that people encounter your presence right now, the whispers of God, the whispers of the Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray we would be able to get our eyes off ourselves and we'd make a difference in the lives of others. We'd make a difference. We'd serve others. We'd invite others to Easter. Lord, I thank you right now for putting gas in our tanks that we could be healthy emotionally and mentally. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.